It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro Country with a Twist. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Man, Bob, there's a little snap in the air this week, and it just makes me want to get outside and fire up my smoker. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because after the show, I got a big job to do, and I'm going to ask you for a little advice so we can have a conversation about that. But how you been, man? What's cooking?
I'm good, and it's cool weather. Thank you, Jop. Welcome to the show. Been talking for months about this expedition tent I bought, and then we put the wood stove in. And it was like 90 degrees when I'm cutting in the hole, you know, for the roof jack and all this. Mosquitoes were eating us alive. Well, I'm going up there after the show today, and it's going to be like down to 30 at night. So we're going to give that little stove a workout.
Right.
And sorry you can't join us, but
yeah. Well, it's just got things to do. This is a busy time of year. You know, last week when we talked, I had just totaled my car. Happy birthday to me. It was on my birthday. But everybody's fine. But this past week, it took them a week and a day to figure out that it was totaled. But they settled up with me, so now I got this daunting task of going out to try to buy a car, man. And I tell you, I just don't look forward to it.
How did that work? Now car values have shot up.
Right. So you want to know how it worked? I think it's going to be a wash at the end because I'm going to pay more for the next one. But I bought that car. I buy used cars a year or two old, right?
Yep.
Just because I drive a lot, and so I bought the car in 2019. It was a GMC Acadia, and it was a 2017, so it was 2 years old. I paid $27,000 for it in 2019. They totaled it out with 35,000 more miles on it for $28,000. So I actually, they gave me more than I paid for it 2 years ago, and I got to drive it for 30,000 miles. So that's how crazy this auto market
well,
is right now.
I think Conrad's going to sell his car based on what he was saying, so right. Maybe you ought to just work out a little deal with Conrad.
Right.
What do you think, Conrad? He's got 28,000. Will you sell it?
Yeah, right.
I got 200,000 on my winter beater, pal.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That'll get me to and fro. But anyway, no. So I just got to go out and buy a vehicle, and you know, I just don't understand. I don't do it enough, I guess. I'm not going to beat up the guys in the auto business. They work their tails off. But it just seems like a transaction that shouldn't take 2 or 3 hours to do. It should be able to get in and buy one and get out. But, you know, that isn't the way it works.
Well, that's why you just go on CarMax and just buy Carvana, do it online.
Yeah. You know, there's something to be said about personal service. And those guys all got to eat, too. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just starting the process, right? And
yep.
So it's not going to be any fun. But a process I do want to talk about with you is that for my real job, not this Grilling Guys gig, I've got you're actually helping me with it. We're going to do a beers and barbecue event over in Ada for my customers and friends. And I'm going to send everybody home with some pulled pork and some brisket. So I want to cook it ahead of time. And then chill it down, package it, and then we're going to put it in little take-home coolers so that when they leave the event, they just got a little bit of barbecue to take home with us.
Right.
Right. But I got to cook a brisket. And actually, I got to cook two briskets.
At least.
Yeah. And for the take-home part. And then we're going to cook a couple more for the day of the event. But my point is that this can be a daunting task for somebody who's never done it. I have. You've taught me a lot about it. Yours are better than mine. And so let's talk about cooking a brisket because it's an expensive piece of meat. I mean, you found some deals at a big box store, but typically they're $6, $7 a pound and mm-hmm. they're 15 pounds, you know? So this is $100 piece of meat that you're going
to
put on the grill.
So you want me to tell you how I do it or
yeah.
how I tell you to do it?
Right. Yeah. There is a difference. There's a reason why mine don't turn out, right?
Yeah. No, that's not true. First of all, a lot of people ask about brisket, so
right.
that's a really common nervousness.
It's a daunting piece of meat. It's a giant
chunk
of meat.
People are apprehensive. You know,
yeah.
they overthink it, I think, a lot. It's just a big, dense muscle, and you more than anybody should understand that.
I do. I carry one around every day.
So there's lots of different ways to do brisket. The way Rob Russell and I used to teach it when we taught barbecue classes was very meticulous. I mean, very, very meticulous trimming methods, and just really spending a lot of time getting as much fat off it as you can. And I still do that. And then taking a Jacquard to it and pounding the snot out of it when you're done, when you put your rub on it, and then take a Jacquard, which is the bed of needles thing, or a meat hammer you can use. But if you don't have a Jacquard, I'd recommend to anybody get a Jacquard, because there's always times when you're going to have pork chops or leaner, tougher pieces of meat that you want to tenderize. And it's just a wonderful stamping mechanism that stamps these nails down into it. And when you're done cooking, it's just a little more tender. So that's a big deal.
You don't lose all the juice out of the meat after you've perforated it many times?
No. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it. And now, after it's cooked, you wouldn't want to do that. Then you would lose your juices. But what you're punching is just a piece of meat with a bunch of connective tissue and fat, collagen, all right. sorts of things in there that your body needs. So I tend to lop off the flat just at the end. You know, it looks like a, oh, I don't know, like it's tall and thick on one end, and it tapers down like a whale or something in the back end and gets flat. I cut that flat portion off and do it separate, because I like to get mine up to about 196, 198. And if you have a thermopen, you can control that temperature. You'll know
that's
right
a
what
digital
it is.
Thermometer.
Yeah,
right?
It's on the grillingguys.com on the right side. Says ThermoWorks. Punch on there, you'll get the best price they're offering at the moment. They're about $70.
Right.
And my original one is 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Still works great.
Yep.
So when it gets to about 140, 145, I pull it and I wrap it.
So you're doing this on a smoker or a grill?
Smoker.
Right.
So
right.
I pull it and I wrap it, and I might put a little Worcestershire and beef broth on it.
What do you wrap it in?
I might put nothing on it. Butcher paper.
Okay.
And double up on the bottom, because you're going to have a lot of juices when you're done wrapping it. So you want to make sure that there's lots of paper around it, so when you pull it off, you don't, you're not wearing it all.
That's the pink butcher paper you're talking about.
Yes, the pink
yep.
butcher paper, not freezer paper.
Right.
And bring it up to about 195, 196, 197, somewhere in there, and park it in a cooler for an hour.
Right. Yep. So what did you do to season it? Now, you said you tenderize it with this Jacquard, which is are you putting oil or anything on the brisket?
No, I'm just going to put some Billy Bones barbecue spices from, I get them at Sobeys, and Billy was a friend of mine, and his kid had the spice company, sold it to some other fellow. I don't know who owns it now, but it's still Billy's recipe, and it's perfect.
Right.
It's called, he's got three different blends. It doesn't matter which one you get.
And you rub it on there pretty liberally.
I don't do anything liberally.
Right.
But
right. Yeah. Right. That'd be Bob would rub that on a conservative amount of seasoning. That's true. Yeah, touche. Got you there.
No, I don't overwork it. Robbie Russell, he used to love to just dump it on it, because it was his brand, and
right, yeah.
he was making money on it. So all the classes he taught people just to absolutely inundate them with it. But no, that was a point of contention between us all the time.
Sure. Sure. So you're going to get this thing up.
You can use salt and pepper if you want.
Right.
That's a Texas brisket.
Yep.
Salt, pepper, and garlic.
Yeah. And you want to, you want to let the meat do the work, because you don't want to taste all seasoning. But so you get this thing up to 195, and you know, depending on your smoker, what temperature are you running that smoker at?
250, 280.
Right. Not a hot one, just a good smoking temp. And, you know, you should take probably, if it's a thin flat, maybe 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
If it's the thicker piece, which is the other end, the point or the deckle, they call that.
Yeah.
That one's going to take a little longer.
The point, yep.
Right?
So here's the deal. When that meat gets to 140 to 145, it will no longer receive smoke.
Right.
You're just piling it on the outside. So that's why we wrap it at 145.
Right.
150 max.
Right.
Otherwise, even if your grill is still smoking, another reason to wrap it, because if you don't, it'll be bitter and your guests will have heartburn.
Right. Yep. So you get that done, you can leave this in a dry cooler. And what I mean by that is it's just a regular cooler, no ice in it, Wrap it's still wrapped in the paper. You set it down there and shut the lid.
Get an Igloo 5-day cooler.
Right. Yep. And you shut the lid and do not open it till you're ready to serve it. And you can carry that thing for maybe 7, 8, 9 hours, and it'll still be hot in it.
Don't use your Yeti.
Right. Yeah. You'll ruin it. All right. Coming up next, we're pumpkin treats and zucchini spears. Wow. We're stepping out. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to this banter and BS that we throw about.
Heavy on the BS.
Right. And but, you know, what we like to do, it's the fall, some different things that are happening. There's pumpkins all around, all the gourd zucchinis and squashes, you know. Those are fall vegetables, and you can grill all that stuff. And Barbecue Bob, take it away, man, because you've got some of this stuff you want to break down for us.
I'll give you a little inside baseball here. I write the show every week, all right, and that's because Jop is spoiled.
Right. Well, no, when I tried to write it, you never wanted to talk about what I wanted to talk about, so it was just easier to have you do it.
Oh, God. Oh, who do you sound like?
Yeah.
So I mistakenly thought Jop had come up with some pumpkin grilled pumpkin recipes a year or two ago. So
must have been your other partner, Jop.
So I threw them on there.
I don't know.
Well, I have seen people quartering pumpkin and then or like cutting it into sort of wedges.
Right.
And gutting it and then putting brown sugar and cinnamon or nutmeg on the inside and grilling it skin down.
Right.
And closing the lid on the grill. Putting a little butter in there, and that honestly, that does look really good.
Yeah, and
I got to try it this year because I've been talking about it.
Yeah, it would steam it. I think that, you know, with the lid down, you're going
to
get any moisture that's coming out of there.
You did something like that with acorn squash.
Yeah,
it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, and the acorn squash. Now that's a little different. Everybody knows what those are, dark green ones.
Comes with a lid,
and they got a little point on the bottom of them. You whack that off with a knife, but not deep enough to get to the inside because you're going to cap the thing on the top.
Flatten the bottom.
Right, and flatten it so it'll sit on the grill. You're going to cap the thing on the top, and then, you know, those stems up there, and you take the lid off.
Kind of like brain salad surgery.
Right, yeah, right. You take the lid off, clean the seeds out and stuff. You can save those and smoke them or not. But let's say you throw them away. Now you've got a little bowl, which is squash. And the same thing that you just talked about, I'm going to put a little butter in there, but I like maple syrup. And just maple syrup is you get it in the spring, but just screams fall to me.
So
maple
syrup. That'd be good for pumpkin too, though.
Right, yep. And so it's just maple syrup and a little bit of butter, and you put that lid back on there, grill it on low to medium heat because you don't want to burn it.
About an hour,
but it's going to steam itself on the inside. And you can tell if you take the little cap off and you stick a toothpick in there, and if it goes in all the way to the skin, you know it's done. It's soft, right? And that's how you want to eat it. And then you take that thing off, let it rest for about 3, 4, 5 minutes. With the lid off, because it's smoking hot in there. And then you just stir it up. You carve the flesh away from the skin and stir all that maple syrup and that butter up. And I'm sure it's not the best thing for you, the maple syrup and the butter.
Sounds like it is.
But, oh man, they're really good. And it's just a unique side dish for the fall that just screams to me that fall's here and it's time to eat good gourds.
Well, and fall is a squashy time of the year anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you see pumpkins and squash all over the place. You can get zucchini spears all throughout the summer, or summer squash, ironically, in the summer.
Yeah.
And you can cut those into, if you cut them in half and then cut them into long spears, like a dill spear.
Like the zucchini, you mean?
And then you marinate them in a cheap, zesty Italian dressing for about 2 hours on the counter.
Right.
That's all it takes. And then throw them on the grill. Put them skin side down first, and then finish them off by tapping each side a little bit.
Get a little grill mark
on them.
They
are fantastic.
Right.
Don't overcook them.
Do you take the seeds out? I mean, when you cut it into the quarters, right?
No.
There's just like when you eat a cucumber.
In a summer squash, you would, but in the zucchini, no. They stay.
Right. Just like it would in a cucumber when you
cut
that.
There's a lot of that fiber in there, so they don't even want to fall out.
Right. Makes it really, really good.
Yeah.
But
here's a recipe I saw that was really cool. Grilled stromboli. And the picture of it, I mean, I don't even like stromboli, but they used a really thin crust.
Okay, so this is, when I was in college,
it's a pizza.
This is where I got exposed to strombolis. And basically, they folded a pizza in half and baked it that way and kind of like crimped the edges together.
They're big in Detroit.
Pizza pocket.
Yeah.
Almost, right? Yeah.
But I think there's stromboli everywhere.
Yeah, oh, there is now, yeah. I mean, I was in college a long time ago, right? But that was the first I'd ever saw it. I grew up in Chartucky. They didn't have no stuff like that.
But according to this author who was writing it, and you can just look up grilled stromboli, that might have been on the Food Network's page. The way he described it, he just said it's the perfect way to grill a pizza. And I thought, you know what? That makes sense because people do struggle with grilled pizza.
Right.
For various reasons. You know, the crust gets too dark before the cheese is melted, before the
or lime. They stick to the grate if you're trying to do them on a grate or whatever.
And I thought this sounded actually really good. And I think the key is to go easy on the sauce and, you know, not to overload the inside so that you've got a bunch to cook in there.
Right. Yeah, because the thicker it is, the more the propensity is to burn on the bottom before the top gets done.
Right.
Yeah, every time.
But it's stromboli, so you're going to flip it.
Yeah.
You're going to do both sides.
Yeah. So but when you put it together, you're going to have double the toppings too, right?
I think it would be great tailgate food.
Yeah, it would. It'd be really good tailgate
food. It's a one-handed meal.
Yeah, all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's a lot of different things. The venison is a fall. Obviously, several of my buddies have bagged their deer already and had a couple conversations about cooking venison. Couple things that I always mention to everybody is it's a very lean meat. And you don't want to cook it much past medium in my world. Some people don't like it pink. I don't like it when it's not pink.
Right.
And, you know, you might have
Conrad. Do you ever eat venison?
Yeah.
And how do you like it?
I like it well. I don't like it pink.
Okay.
So it's personal preference.
Yeah.
To me, when it gets past medium rare, it starts to get a little tough. And
right.
If you're just going to eat the steak, but I mean, you know, you can mix it in things, make stroganoff, whatever. That's a whole other conversation.
There's another reason to try a Jacquard, and I haven't done that with venison.
Right. So Jacquard is not a name brand, but it's the name.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I meant to say. It is a name brand, but if you look it up, it will show you. It's the, I always call it the circus bed of nails,
right?
But it's a tenderizing mechanism for meat, and works well on venison because other than the back straps, there's, you know, the animal uses all
it's
of its
like
muscles.
It's like something you would stamp postage on with this little mechanism comes down and kind of spins and goes chiching, chiching.
Right.
And except it's nails that go into it.
Right.
Stainless nails.
Drives little holes into the meat. You can put oil on the surface and you'll drive some of that fat
that
into the meat.
That might be great for venison though.
Yeah.
You know, I've never thought about that before.
Yep. And that's what I was talking about as I told somebody that is maybe not the back straps because they're tender, but if you get steaks off the hindquarters, then sometimes those are a little chewy. And you could loosen them up with that. Maybe put a little seasoning on there as well, and drive that in as well. So, things to make your venison just a little bit better.
Right.
Don't necessarily over season it too much. I go light with the seasoning.
I marinate it.
Yep.
And
yep.
I like using that marinade on our website, thegrillingguys.com. If you go up in the search bar, and type in shish kebab, or Charlie. Jabor, Charlie.
Right.
Any of those words will bring it up. And it's Charlie Jabor's shish kebab marinade. And it's really like Italian dressing, zesty, with bay leaves and thyme and red wine and lemon. You could take cheap Italian dressing, add bay leaves, thyme, red wine, and lemon, and you'll be there.
Yeah, really tasty. Really tasty stuff.
I'll do those back straps about 2 hours.
Right. Yeah, slowly. Yep. Let them come up to temperature.
Well, a fast 2 hours of work, too.
Right, right. But I mean low heat. You don't want them on high heat for 2 hours. You want them on low heat
for 2 hours. No, I say marinate them for 2 hours.
Oh, I think you could cook them for that long, too, if you really slow heat. But anyway, coming up next, grilled vegetable salad on a grilled flatbread with a grilled guy standing with a beer. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro 94.9 and GR 99.5 in your hometown, Bob, of Lowell,
and
Michigan.
Also down in Oshtemo.
Kalamazoo area. We got it all, man. It's all good. But thanks for listening.
It's good in the hood.
It is all good in the hood. So we're talking about fall favorites again. And Bob, you wrote your show plan, as you let everybody know. So you got to run with this one.
Well, I wanted to have full, I guess, honesty or whatever.
Disclosure?
Yeah, because most of these things, I mean, at least half of them, I have not made. Like the rosemary garlic grilled chicken thighs. That sounded right up your alley because you love rosemary.
Yeah. Well,
does
that's
your wife
in the next
know?
Segment. Let's stick to this
does
segment.
Does your wife know?
But,
grilled stromboli. I've never done it.
Uh-huh.
Pumpkin treats. Never done it. So if you would like also, we'll send this right to your device if you go to thegrillingguys.com. Check in the top right corner. Hit the earmuffs, and you'll get the link for the podcast. We'll send it to your phone for free. I just had a coworker said, "Yeah, I'd really like to get your podcast, but I just haven't really felt like spending the money."
We should have said, "Well, that's cheap. It's only $59.95 a month. I'll sell it to you for $29.95."
Yeah, I said it's free.
I know.
You just sign.
I'm kidding.
You just click on, and we'll send it to your. And he just seen the look on his face, like I gave him a Christmas present.
Well, good, man. I'm hoping he enjoys it.
Grilled vegetable salad. This looked really good. And do you like flatbread?
Yeah. And the tzatziki, the sour cream, isn't that a Lebanese or Greek sauce that goes on there? That's the cucumber sauce.
Oh.
Yeah. I like that on flatbread sandwiches.
That'd be Greek. Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay. That'd be a good one to put on.
Right.
Or you could use like a garlic spread.
Yeah,
Old World Olive Company has some of those beautiful tapenades, and one of them is a mustard garlic spread. Holy cow, is that good. Fantastic. You could put that on your grilled flatbread, but these guys were basically grilling like mushrooms, onions, little bits of broccoli, and I don't know, maybe what they have. Some little baby chunks of sweet potato. And
you were at an event where these guys
were
doing?
No, it's just something I saw on the web.
Okay.
The pictures get me, you know, when I see. And these people are very good at photographing, but this looked really cool, and it was just a grilled piece of flatbread. They're kind of long. It's like the sole of a shoe, maybe.
Okay.
And then they grill it, and they put whatever kind of cream sauce on it you want, and then they put their veggies in a basket, oil them up, put them over the fire, shake them around a little bit, and they dump it on this bread. It looked great.
Wow. And it was just, it was on top, or did it fold together to make a sandwich?
No, just
set
on top like a pizza.
Right. And you just cut a piece of it and
you just pick the thing up and just mow it.
Mow it down, right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, sweet potatoes are really good grilled. When Lisa and I got married a couple years ago when we started dating, her son came and lived with her on a furlough from the hockey season when COVID hit.
Yep.
And he's a health nut because he's a professional athlete, and he ate sweet potatoes every day. And I watched him do that a few times, and from as simple as just cutting them into discs, right, you know, crossways of the potato, and putting a little cooking oil on them and salt and pepper, and he'd throw them in a cast iron skillet and get them crispy on each side. And, you know, there again, it's salt and pepper. You let the potato do the work. But they were really tasty. But you can mix other vegetables in with those, use some different fats to maybe get some caramelization going. I saw him make some with a little bit of brown sugar on them from time to time. He didn't do a lot of that because he was health conscious and didn't want all the sugar. But at the end of the day, I think that's a fall vegetable.
When I was on the COVID quarantine at your house.
Right. Well, you were that period was a long time. I mean, he wasn't there. Yeah. You were there, it seemed like a year, but maybe it was only a month.
It was only a couple weeks. But you showed me how to do those in your new air fryer. And I thought that was cool as heck.
Right. Yep. Because and if you've got an air fryer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't...
And sweet potatoes, I think it's a must.
Right, yeah. Well,
it'd be a reason to get an air fryer
they're
if
dense.
You like sweet potatoes.
They're dense, right? A sweet, like any potato, but they're big and dense. So you gotta put a lot of heat to them for a pretty long amount of time to get them soft so they're pliable and
but the
right
air
texture.
Fryer made them kind of crispy on the outside.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about
it. Yeah, it's convection.
Anytime
right?
I've tried to do them, or my wife's tried to do them, we're kind of disappointed because they're kind of
mushy,
soggy, yeah.
Soggy, mushy, yeah. Soggy. But that air moving around them, the convection heat, really, really makes them
crisp.
So
maybe a pellet grill would be good for that.
Yeah, I don't know if you could get it hot enough. That's the thing with that air fryer is that thing's at 450.
That grill I gave you, I bet you can get that to 400.
Right, yeah.
I used to cook a lot of pizzas on that thing.
Did you?
Maybe not in the winter, but in the summer, I bet you can get that to 450.
Yeah.
Because that's a powerful, that's one of those Louisianas.
Right, yeah. And
it's
I tell you
powerful.
What, that thing's been a workhorse. I need to put a new stand underneath it because that thing's got a little rusty and a little rickety. But the grill itself, if you keep it clean and you get in there, you know, every third or fourth cook and take the ash out and any drippings.
And don't use it in your garage.
Right. Why? Why?
I have pictures, Jock.
Do you?
And your landlord never found out.
No, and maybe, you know what, maybe we should talk about that because that was this is the time of year when stupid crap like that happens.
Yeah,
because
you start wimping out and trying to grill inside.
Yeah, you know, you start a cook, and anytime you're on a pellet grill, it's a little bit longer than a gas grill. It's kind of halfway between a smoker and a gas grill. And so it takes a while to get things done by design. I mean, that they're a slower cooking machine. And
it's a smoker.
Right, and it's a smoker. So Bob gives me this Louisiana smoker.
Because a factory gave me another new one.
Right, right.
And that one was, the one new one I got was smaller.
Right.
Which was good, because I always keep them in my garage.
Right.
It was brand new.
Speaking of smaller, the bigger one maybe fell off the back of your car at one point, too.
I don't know anything about that.
And so it had a little cosmetic love on it when I got it. But anyway, it was still very functional. And
all I know was I was not in Rochester Mills that night.
Right, yeah, exactly. M43, that was where it was born. But anyway... So I light this thing up, and I'm cooking on it, and all of a sudden, it starts to rain, and I mean rain hard. And if you've ever smoked meat in a metal smoker, when it starts to rain on the thing, it zaps all the heat right out of it because the smoker starts evaporating water, and all the heat goes to that
converting.
Metal. Right. Well, the other thing is that pellets don't do well in moisture. Okay, and this thing had a big hopper with the pellets on it and a little metal flap that goes over the top.
But suppose water got in that hopper?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it did after I got done. So anyway, the water gets in there and it gums up the pellets, right? And so the auger's not augering the pellets in anymore, and the fire goes back out of the firebox, works its way up the auger, and catches my hopper of pellets on fire.
I have a feeling that your burner pot was plugged too.
Yeah.
It was just getting over full.
Right.
And you didn't know enough about it yet because I had just given it to you.
Right.
And maybe that burner pot was either put together wrong, because when you clean it, it's easy to put some of these in with a little change.
Right.
And all of a sudden your ash isn't dumping.
Right.
And or whatever. But the long and the short of it is
that I walked back. I went inside. I knew it's a long cook. I went inside. I came out an hour later. The top of this hopper is just flaming, and it's inside my garage, right? And the flames are almost touching the ceiling of the garage. And
I thought they were burning the door.
What? No, no, they weren't. But I'd left the hopper open because it got wet, and I was trying to let it dry out.
Oh, my
gosh. And it just created a reverse vacuum. And you know, I'm just a project for the fire department, man. I did everything wrong. And so that thing, and I was like, so I went up there, and I put the flap down because I thought I put the fire out, but the damn thing was hot and I burned my hand. I mean, it was just one damn comedy of errors right after the other. But so moral of the story is don't put your pellet grill in your garage because you never know what's going to happen.
Don't burn it in your garage.
Yeah, yeah. You store it there, but don't cook with it in your garage. You shouldn't cook with any grill in your garage. You know, if you got an overhang and you pulled it back under the overhang, but it's still outside, then maybe I'm talking, you know, like a foot overhang on your eaves,
right,
or something. You could probably do that. But, you know, beyond that, that was probably one of the dumbest things I've ever done. Did not catch a house on fire, thank God. But it was a mess. Just an absolute mess. Enough about the anecdotal stories, but just don't grill in your garage.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff that I actually have cooked coming up. So
right,
we'll be able to speak with some authority again.
Right. Skillet grilled apple crisp. Damn if that don't sound good.
Oh,
stick with us.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Yeah. Welcome back. It is the Grillin' Guys. Hey, it's the fall favorites edition of the Grillin' Guys. And if you're just tuning in, you've missed some good recipes and some not so good banter and one embarrassing story.
I resemble that remark.
But at the end of the day, Barbecue Bob and I do this for a hobby, and we really enjoy each other's company as much as I would probably not like to admit it. I do. But this is about two buddies. This is about two buddies that sit around on the deck, smoke a cigar, drink some bourbon, a lot of craft beer, and
lie.
And then just lie to each other about how good I can barbecue versus he barbecues. And I was never supposed to be in this chair, but by fate, I ended up here. And I tell you what, I've had a damn good time. We're in our 12th year now of doing this. We just came aboard on Jethro, and we're damn glad to be here.
We're down to our last resort for
right,
stations.
Yeah. There's not a
We've
one in the city.
We've been everywhere else.
Yeah, right. I've been everywhere, man. Yeah. But
no,
anyway.
It's just nice to have a station that fits us.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm a bona fide redneck.
Right.
And I'm proud of it.
Right.
I don't think that's a slam.
I'm redneck by affiliation, and yes. I'm pretty proud of that, too.
So Skillet grilled apple crisp.
No, think about this, guys. This is dessert
skillet
on your grill.
Yeah, and a nice cast right. iron, that big one I take to deer camp, that big cast iron mm-hmm. skillet. It's about a 13-inch, I think, and my wife makes up the actual recipe because her crisp is phenomenal. But it's basically, you know, cinnamon, allspice, sugar, salt, flour. You roll the apples in it, and then you make a topping with butter and that same stuff.
Right.
And you crumble the top over it.
Right.
You basically throw it on your grill, shut the lid, low heat,
yep.
and let it go.
The one thing that I would recommend on those is that you put about a third of a stick of butter in the pan before you put any of the other ingredients in there, the fruit that's rolled in that stuff, because then it won't stick.
You actually, you're right, or use Pam.
Right.
But I usually
the butter makes it taste good.
I use Pam, and then I take little pads of butter and put those in the bottom.
Right. Right, because that'll make it a heck of a lot easier to get out of there once you're ready to eat it. But the cool part is you can make dessert on the grill.
Yeah.
And you close the lid, it creates convective heat, which is your oven, right? And you got your grill on medium-high maybe because you want to get to that 350 in there.
Yeah, depends on your grill.
Right. Yep, you're right.
And if your smoker would do that, your pellet grill.
Yep. And put them on there. And Barbecue Bob and I are working an event on Tuesday, a little private deal I got going on. We're doing kind of a brewery takeover, and we're going to make some of those with peach in them.
Okay.
We're going to make peach cobblers at that thing. So should be a lot of fun. Should be a whole lot of fun. But you can do this. Okay, this is one you said you haven't done, but it just sounds good to me. Rosemary garlic grilled chicken thighs. Now, we both much prefer grilled chicken thighs over any piece of chicken that I can grill. I'll tell you that... the guy from Cutlerville Grills, remember we talked about the bull and the hog grill? He and I went over to Sobey's last weekend after the show, and we grilled about 300 pounds of meat on those two grills, and we gave it away. It was Sobey Customer Appreciation Days, and damn, was that a lot of fun. But everybody that came up was like, your chicken is amazing, right? And Tim has a Tim's chicken rub, right, that he uses that you can get at Sobey Meats, but it was skinless, boneless thighs. And we, you know, put a pretty good coating of that seasoning on there. And then you just put them over the charcoal grill, flip them a couple times till they're done. But juicy, wonderful flavor. And it's a chicken thigh.
Pretty right? hard to screw up.
Well, you know what? You're right. I mean.
That's the nice thing about them. If you struggle with chicken.
Yeah.
On your grill.
Right.
Bone in or skinless, boneless. Do a chicken thigh.
Right. Yep. And it's one of the cheaper cuts of meat on the bird, too. I mean. Used to be. Right, and until I start talking about it, huh? Yeah, the crazy part about wings, but that's a whole other story. But rosemary and garlic, those are two aromatics that are really always a lot of that in common.
Yeah,
we'll talk about. I'm going to talk about before we close on my lollipop lamb chops because that makes me think of those too. Because those are rosemary, garlic, thyme, and. A little bit of oregano.
Well, and it makes you think of the good ship.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Do your little dance.
Make a little lamb. Down tonight. Yeah.
How about a grilled steak sandwich?
Can there be anything wrong with that?
So here's a great way to do it. The way Pat does it up at the Chase Creek Smokehouse, he'll smoke a loin, a beef loin. Not a tenderloin,
but a
beef loin.
Yep.
And he'll bring it up to 110 degrees. Wrap it and throw it in the refrigerator. When he wants to do a steak, he'll cut off the steak he wants to do, throw that over hot flames, and grill it up to whatever doneness the customer wants it. That is a phenomenal idea, and that's why his steaks are so good up there.
Right. So they're smoked
grilled.
Right. The first 110 degrees internal temperature
and then you
is
put
on
them
the
in
smoker.
The fridge. So,
right. And if you're, you know, they'll keep for a few days.
Oh, easily.
But you know, and he's got a restaurant, but I'm just saying is if you had three couples coming over, go buy a chunk of that prime rib, 7-8 pounds, because you're going to lose some of it as it cooks. It shrinks, right? So you get a 1 pound steak for everybody, but do that. 110 degrees. You could do that on Friday, maybe Friday night after you get home and your people are coming over Saturday.
And I would leave the ribs on it and smoke the whole thing. Ribs on. Don't truss them or anything.
Right.
Leave the ribs on and... smoke them, you know, any day of the week you want. That's good for at least 7 days after you smoke it.
In the
fridge. Probably like 10 or 15.
In the fridge.
But good for seven.
Right.
And then you've got your rib bones as a guide to cut your steaks.
Right. Yep. You're going to get 1.25 to 1.5 inch steak.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Got a handle.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Tomahawk-ish,
oh, man.
If you will, depending on how much the ribs the butcher left on for you. But there again, you get something like that at a custom butcher, not at your big box store.
So if you're doing that, you can also smoke the thing up to 135 and cool it. You can use an eye of round.
It'd be a little tough, though.
No. Here's what that's good for. You bring that up to about 130, 135, pull it off, and you have it heavily seasoned, pull it off, wrap it in plastic, throw it in the fridge, and leave
still
it
hot, for, leave or it you let it cool?
Well, let it cool on, yeah, the, yeah,
right, on the countertop, yeah. Right, yep.
But you're not going to melt the plastic.
No.
But you wrap it and put it in the fridge for a day, bring it out, and then angle your blade. And again, that's a long muscle, so you're cutting against the strains, double bias cut, and you're going to shave it, just like you were shaving prosciutto or something like that.
That's a sharp knife. You need a very sharp knife for that.
Yes, you do. And then you shave that beef off like that, and you can either heat it up or not. I say you don't have to, but if you're doing like a French dip or something like that, you're going to have to heat it a little bit. But you can put that on a bun. You can put some provolone on there. This recipe I saw called for horsey mail, which is great, and I put a little bit of sour cream in with that.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Sobey sells a great horseradish, too.
Two
different versions.
In a jar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell which one's Polish because the label's on upside down. Not lying. That's not a joke. There are two of them. And
you're
one of them
racist.
Is a, no, I'm not a racist. I know good Polish horseradish when I see it.
Do you know why they do that?
What? Why? No.
Because you store it that way.
The lid down.
Yes.
Right.
That's what keeps it from turning color.
Right. Because it's always moist all the time.
Glad you came today.
You know what?
Look at what you've learned just in this.
Every time I'm with you, Bob, I learn something useless.
No, I think that's a big deal.
Right.
Because otherwise you'd be getting mugged by the next Polish guy who sees you thinking you're dissing his people.
I'm not dissing. We're on Jethro, man. This whole gig here is Polish, right? I can't teach these guys anything. They already know. But certainly not least, let's talk about these chorizo turkey burgers with guacamole in because your daughter makes the guac.
Yeah, you do that one.
Well, chorizo is a spicy sausage. Turkey is usually ground, is bland in my world.
Yep.
So mixing the two of those together, you're going to pick up a little bit more flavor.
You got to find somebody that makes a good chorizo.
Right. And there are plenty out there. You know where we go. But this might be one for your Mexican markets because a lot of the Mexican markets will have a family recipe of their chorizo. And, you know, it's usually something you're not going to get in the mainstream market.
Funny you would say that because most meat departments of big box stores have the same two brands. I think they're from Mexico. But they're these long, skinny tubes.
Yep.
And if you just cut that in half and squeeze the ends into a bowl, it's going to be terribly fat, and that's why the turkey does such a nice job. And you might even go with the spicier version of that because the turkey is going to need some help.
Right. Yep, it is. Patty it up. You need to grill your turkey to
165
in a patty just because you don't want to eat raw poultry ever.
And then if you want a guacamole recipe, look for Maggie's Guac on thegrillingguys.com. Go to the search bar. Put in Maggie's guacamole or guacamole. My daughter brought the recipe up from Florida, Mexican place she worked at, and it's fantastic.
Wow, I bet it is. Well, hey, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys here on Jethro and The Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob, you're headed up to deer camp after the show.
We just got started and we got to quit
early. I know, and I am going to go home and smoke a couple briskets, so we're going to have a busy weekend, but if you get out there, be safe. We appreciate you listening, and we will talk with you next week.
See ya.